You know, God has made us unique. We're their masterpiece. There's only one of us with the Christ in us. And when we're moving with God in that relationship, is a relationship with the Father. This is a walk with God, what we're doing. Yes, it's about outreach. It's about bringing people from darkness to light. But initially, it's about our walk with the Father and letting him lead us, letting him guide us, growing in that relationship. And it's through this fellowship, through our fellowship, our connection with God first, and then with the body, you know, that we begin to grow and we can begin to walk and we can begin to be encouraged and step out in areas where we may have had fear or didn't think we could do things. But really, like, each one on here, you know, you are filled with the Spirit of God and you really are ready to go. Like, you need no man teach you. You know, Jesus said this. You need no man. God's given us the Spirit. He's given us the Comforter. And God's also called us to the body. And we know there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And I think, you know, that was just highlighted. You know, Jesus highlighted that because we need no man to teach us. If we need to be on our own and there's nothing else available, we can still move like the Lord Jesus Christ did, right? He was one, and it's through the ones many come. Moses was one, he listened to God, and then many were saved, many were led out of bondage. Many people are, or have been in bondage, we were maybe at one time, I know I was in bondage, and maybe you were, maybe, you know, you just have no direction, maybe your life wasn't so bad, or maybe it was really bad. Only you know that between you and God, but God's the God of deliverance. We got the message of deliverance. You know, we got the message of word and reconciliation, that when we decide to let God use our mouth, like, here's my mouth, God, now I'll speak for you. Here I am, send me, like little Isaiah. I'll go, I'll speak. I don't know what I'm going to say, but you're going to have to supply everything. God doesn't just supply the words, he supplies everything. He supplies the way. Even if there was something in our way, he'd get those things out of our way as we just stay with God. The only thing that does stop us is fear. And fear can come through ignorance, being ignorant of, oh, can God, I didn't know God could do that. Oh, I didn't know God would supply my needs. I didn't know God could heal me. Lots of people don't know that God can heal them, God can deliver them, God can restore them, God can replace organs, God can replace bank balances, he can change people's lives. A lot of people don't know this. They just think he's God. You know, he's created everything and we're left with this mess in the world, right? So people need to know about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he came to make known, the Father. And that's what we do. We come to make known the Father and also the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was through his example and his obedience even unto the death of the cross. I'll put that in there, right? Even unto the death, you know, he was willing to lay down his life to fulfill the Father's purposes. And he knew he wasn't going to go a loser. We will never go a loser or anything that we do for God. The world will try and trick you. You don't want to be a Christian. They're after your money. They want to brainwash you. They want to take over your houses, your cars, your women, your men. You know, like all these different kind of mindsets out there when people don't know about the one true God. But we need to be bold. Like, you know, at the end of the day, there's so many people in the world that are bold when it comes to their religion or when it comes to their perception or their political standpoints. People need to rise up as believers and be bold and speak and stand and declare the truth. You know, because then when we're in situations where that is needed, then people can have another way. You know, God makes a way where there seems no way. And when we bring light, people's whole hearts and minds can change. People don't have to be drug dealers. You know, I know loads of drug dealers, and I've spoken and ministered, and lots of people have gone from drugs and to live with God, and or they've turned away from that life because I was bold enough to speak. It may not be that kind of light. It may be something else. God wants you to be bold. See, Christianity isn't just about inreach. Like, we do a lot of inreach. We do a lot of fellowships, a lot of one-on-ones, which is really fantastic, very beneficial. But it's about outreach. You know, Jesus initially worked with his laborers. His laborers were brought from God to him. And he didn't go after not one. They come to him. And God worked in Jesus to recognize them and then to encourage them. And he was an example to them. He'd done the preaching, he'd done the teaching, he'd done the healing, he'd done the miracles, he'd done the signs. And then he walked right up to the way after John the Baptist had his head chopped off. And then he said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the labors are few. Up until that point, Jesus had done all the healing, all the deliverance, everything. But he had shown the example. He wasn't just giving them knowledge of what to do. He showed them by the example. He said, this is how you get laborers. You know, you pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will throw out the laborers to you. Not just like taking time, like throw them out to you. Are you ready for those laborers? Do you want those laborers? Because it's not just about you. Getting, you know, it's nice having a nice relationship with God. That's the initial thing. But it's about being in that state in your heart and mind that you're happy, you're blessed, you know God's giving you all good things, it's nice and rosy. But what are you giving? What are you doing for God? He wants you to speak His word. He wants you to be that light. He wants people to see the goodness in your life that He's doing for you. And you ain't going to be doing that just by focused on you. Focused on, oh yeah, well, I'm going to make sure I get my happy life first together. No, move with God. He'll make you happy as you go. I'm pay as you go in this life. Like, we have electric meters here. We don't pay monthly or quarterly. We pay. If it runs out at the end of the week, we're on a meter. We have to put money on it and put it in to keep our lights on, to keep the gas going. We don't own a car. We don't own a house. I own a laptop and I own some dogs and I own some furniture. That's what I own. Don't need anything. I don't need to own the house. I got one. I pay rent for that. And God supplies everything for me. I'm not after the things in this world. Yeah, I need some of the things in this world, but God can supply it. My first focus is God. And I think when you start to gear your life up to put God first in every area, then you'll get really blessed. Now, you may think, well, I do this and I do that, so I am putting God first. Really have a look at what you're doing. The priority in your heart and mind, like, you know, what is really first? And the benefits of that to you when you recognize these things. But God will bring you to that point. Because, like, for me, that's what my life is about. Other people might not be that sold out right now. They might be working towards that. They might be learning. I don't lean onto my bank account. I don't lean onto Kim. I don't lean onto my children. God is my rock and my salvation. Everyone could desert me if they wanted to. And I've experienced some of that with my own family. But does that bother me? No. Does it hurt me? Yeah, it does a little bit if I'm honest. But again, I can give that to God because I know God will never leave me or forsake me. And my life is to not be focused on those aspects. Because some, you know, people do desert us in our families, right? People do turn the back. But so what? No, we got God, and that we got His words of deliverance, and we can also pray for Him to change those hearts and to change those situations, those circumstances that we don't like. And we can also be an example of that. You know, with rejection, that's been one of the biggest things in my life is rejection. But when I embrace it and then turn the other cheek, so to speak, and then and use forgiveness, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They're treating me like crap. Father, forgive them. Like, it's the perspective. Like, God, we want God's perspective on these situations. And sometimes it is hard, if I'm honest. Sometimes I find it hard. I'm thinking, man, you deserve a smack in the mouth. Right? But that's carnal. That's carnal thinking. And I could be very carnal if I wanted to, but I choose not to be. Because if I think carnally, then I'm not going to reach out. I'm not going to be, you know, God might want me to go and speak to one of my family members. But I've got a resentment because they haven't bothered with me. So I'm thinking, well, why should I? They haven't even made an effort. I can't even afford to think that way. I've got to be ready to go. Ready to pick up that phone to someone that hasn't called me for a years or a couple of years, ignores everything that I've done, any messages I sent. And you know what? I do it. I live what I just said. I was doing it even last night. So my life is not my own. My life is in service to God. So this is a leaders meeting. You count yourself as a leader. Is your life in service to God or your family? Now, it might play out in service to your family, but is God first? Like, God first to do what He wants you to do, and it might not be focused on your family. It might be, and it might not be. A part of it will be, because we will have responsibilities to a certain degree, right? What about Jesus? He didn't hang out with mum and dad, did he? He didn't hang out with mum and his earthly father and his brothers and sisters. They thought he was mad. They come to get him to put him in a nut house. You see what I'm saying? God first. God first. And he walks in great love. And we can walk in great love. So we need to have that kind of mind that we don't want to hold resentments. And we don't want to hold things that will make us stumble. And walking in forgiveness towards other people is very big, especially within the body of Christ towards other believers. Because people say things and do things that tick you off at times. It's easy to do. And we got to recognize that we're spiritually minded. So the bigger goal here is to, okay, Father, use your word all over the world, your word in the body of Christ, your word to unbelievers, for them to come from darkness to light, the signs, miracles, and wonders to follow. And the way that we do that is to be led by the Spirit of God, is to be single-minded. You know, you want your eyes to be single? That means God is first. Let your eye be single. Your thoughts are single on God. It isn't my wife, and it isn't my brother, mother, or sister first. It's God first. And that's how I live, mate. And God blesses me that, and he's also given them blessing for that. And that they can understand where I am in that thing. It doesn't mean to say I'm horrible to them. Doesn't mean to say I neglect them, because I don't do that. I love them very much. But I know I got to do what God puts in my heart to do, and nothing will stop me, even if no one else understands it. I'll always move that way. Always have done, always will do. Nothing's going to change. And God always takes care of me. I don't even have to worry about me. Because God is so faithful. And once we start to be able to, then we can be really free to really be bold like we need to be. Fearless. Bold is just being fearless. Free from fear. You know, the capture of fear. Because fear can ensnare. There might always be a presence of fear on different things, but it doesn't mean say you've got a spirit of fear. But I'm not afraid to speak. I'm not afraid to lose friends. I'm not afraid of any of that stuff, you know? And, but I don't want to lose friends. Don't want to hurt people or offend people. But when it comes to speaking the truth, it's going to offend some people because they don't believe it's the truth. They've got their own take on things. They've got their own way. But the truth is the truth. It's not going to be diluted. You might sound good and I might sound good, but what's the truth? What's the one that's going to set you free? What's the one that's going to keep you inspired and moving with God? Oh, well, this pastor said this over there. This pastor said this over there. And Lawrence is saying that. But don't connect to where you like the words. If you don't like what I'm saying by God, then don't connect somewhere else. See, it's not about, like Kim said initially, about masses. It's about the one. And from the one will come the masses. It started with Jesus. Then he had 12. So it was 13, was it? 13 altogether, was it? With Jesus, plus all the other disciples he had, the ones that weren't really like close up to Jesus like these 12 were. And then it's just moving from that, you know, God's multiplying and building up. And then the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added. And then each one, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine, the heavenly words, the prophecies that were coming out of the mouth. When we speak by the Spirit, we speak in prophecy. That's real prophecy, is when we're speaking the heavenly words, when we're speaking to the people present. And it might mean foretelling in that prophecy that you're doing also. But God wants us to be focused, like, do you want to move? Do you really want to move? Do you really want to continue to grow? So if you continue in these words, then you really will grow. You will really see the multiplication and growth in your health and strength and finances and relationships. And you will really see God sending you that laborer. This is the year. This is the one laborer. That's God is giving you that. He's saying, look, one laborer, believe me. If you come to me with all your heart, I'll give you that one labor. God knows the motives of your heart. And, you know, we stay in our own fields. If you've got a fellowship, stay ministering in that fellowship. You don't need people from this fellowship to come to your fellowship. You minister in your fellowship. And if you start a fellowship, say, like Danny and Amber's, that their laborers don't come to my fellowship. They don't even speak to me. Might get a message now and again. Which is quite nice when I get a message from them. I just say, hi, how you doing? And they might even send me a Sharon Keeley. Keeley's a great girl. She's practicing and she'll send me an audio now and again. And I say, oh, thank you for sending that. That's lovely. And I'll stick it on the website. But that's Danny and Amber's labourer. I didn't need to interfere there. I let them focus with their people. And that's what we do. Each one, focus where you are. Doesn't matter if you've got no one yet, because God will send that one. And from that one, God will make you grow. And I'm so looking forward to this meeting in Denver. Sorry, not Denver, South Carolina. I'm so looking forward to that, because there's a lot to be said. Yeah, look at Bambi laughing. Yeah, I always do it. I'm a dork and I drink Bambi. I'm so looking forward to this, you know, because it's like, you know, God's worked in... Now, I met Ted and Shelley. I met Ted many years ago, 2008 maybe. If I'm wrong, Ted can always correct that. But I met him many years ago, liked him instantly. There was like a God connection there. That was years ago. Never really spoke to him many years after that. But he never forgot me and I never forgot him. And then all of a sudden we reconnected somehow again. And then now look at them. They're really rising up. They're, you know, want to put on this thing in South Carolina. God's worked that in their hearts. Ethel, she done one as well. She done Eugene and all that wonderful trip we done there. And then there was last year when I come to USA, you know, God put that on and worked in everyone's hearts. And now this one, which is wonderful, and through Ted and Shelley, they're looking to God. They're practicing. They're practicing the encouragement. They're practicing the honoring God, the speaking in tongues, the staying connected, and reaching out to others, you know. And God will... perfect anything that's lacking there for them, God will perfect it. We just stay with this wonderful encouragement that we've been receiving right now. The last 5 years I'm talking about, what you've been hearing and receiving, continue to do. It's not going to budge much more from that at this present time. But then now what's going to happen? The dynamics will change because God will start to add that one. That one, they expect it. If you're praying, if you've been praying for laborers, if you've been expecting, that labor is just going to show up. Not what, even when you're not recognizing it, you all of a sudden they'll be there. You're like, wow. And then it dawned on me, like, God has given me wonderful laborers. I'm very, very blessed. Sange keeps reminding me, God's giving you wonderful laborers, hot laborers. And you are, you're all hot. And, you know, it's not because I'm anything, but it's God that brings. You're God's laborers. And God's given me a wonderful privilege to encourage his laborers for him, to speak forth his word boldly as I ought to speak. And I don't hold back, and I don't care if people don't like me for it. You know, I will speak what I believe genuinely from my heart that God is showing me, and I know also is right. You know, God really wants you to be blessed. If you want to be blessed, continue in this manner that we began. As you began, you continue. No, and God is going to bless you. Don't be sidetracked. I know people have been sidetracked on it. I mean, I can see and I can understand. But that doesn't matter. God is just saying, don't be sidetracked. No, don't be distracted. Your choice. It's down to you. Like, I can't make you not be distracted. I can point something out. Just like the scriptures is profitable, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? For doctrine, how to believe rightly, reproof when not believing rightly, correction, which is back to believing rightly, that the man or woman of God may be perfected, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what the words from God does. It gives you initially the sound doctrine. This is how to believe. This is the direction to move in. When you go off, God will give a word to bring you, kind of correct it, reprove you in areas. So, but it's so loving. You know, it's so loving. God's correction and reproof is very loving, very tender, very gentle, easy to be entreated, and it's totally up to you what you do with it. You can either receive the words as the words of God, you can receive it with meekness, retain it with conviction, and release it with all boldness. And this is what I'm doing. You know, I've been encouraged greatly by my minister. My minister, Sangha, is a wonderful man of God. And he gives great encouragement. And he's very humble also. You know, and I speak many things. He hears what I'm sharing with you guys. and he hears you guys from the leaders' meetings and from the fellowships. He listens. And like, he just gives great words. He's like, you've been blessed very much with great leaders, and God's going to do mighty things by them in the US, in Europe, and in UK. It's going to happen. Like, God will make this happen. We just say, that's all we got to do. You know, it's like waiting for a bus. When you're at the bus stop, you're not building a bus, are you? You're waiting for it to show up. And we're waiting for the laborers to come, you know. And in the meantime, we're ministering, we're fellowshipping, we're praising God, we're walking with God. You know, we're ministering healing, just being blessed. We're not letting things phase us. Maybe we have some challenges at times. We'll have challenges, don't care what you think. We'll all have challenges. But like, you know how to overcome them, right? And you know where to go, because we don't focus on the challenge. We focus on God and give us the solutions and answers and navigate us and give us the direction. That's being led by God. So anyway, I wasn't going to share back then, but always when my wife shares, I always get inspired to want to say something afterwards. And, you know, God is with you and God is with me. Just stay the course. Stay the course. Don't divert. You know, God says, you know, there's a highway and a way, and it's called the way of holiness. You know, and you'll hear a word behind your ear when you go to the left or to the right. When you go off course, you're going to hear a word. Why? Because God loves you, because God's got the right direction for you. The practice needs to be right in what we're doing with the right heart. So when we're speaking in tongues, we're doing it not because Lawrence has said it. It's because God has said it, and God said it's beneficial for us, you know, it's written as well. And Paul gave great examples of the benefits of that. It's, you know, the benefits are recorded. And, so we can go and look at that, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. And it's energized by love. You know, it's not just done, well, I better do the speaking in tongues. No, me and Ethel do our focus speaking in tongues. So the focus speaking in tongues is, you know, it's just, I might focus for an hour to speak in tongues, or 2 hours. It's not that I just got it there and I'm just speaking in tongues on and off. I'm focused for that hour speaking in tongues. That's all it is. And it's a great way to fire you up. It's like starting your car engine in the morning. Shanta kalama sonda kalayanda. You know, when you haven't done it for a while, it's like, shala kalama anda. Oh, I need a coffee. Shala kalayanda. And, oh, I need a tea. Shanta karyanda, karyanda. Oh, I need a little bit more. Shut up, karyanda, karyanda. You know, it's like, fire up. Fire yourself up in the morning. Speak in tongues and, staying connected. Speaking by the Spirit. Just come on, let God give you the words. Honoring God with your substance, with your finances, with the first fruits of all your increase. Doing it from the heart, because Lawrence has said so and Sandgate has said so. Nothing. Because God wants you to do it. Why? Because everything is beneficial. Speaking in tongues is beneficial. The word of God is profitable. And the words of God are profitable. Okay, the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit, right? So God wants us to be benefited. He wants us to be blessed. He doesn't want us to forget his benefits. He wants us to walk strong as leaders and laborers. You want to be strong, stay around strong people. Right? If you want to speak wisely, stay around people that speak wise. You want to be spiritually minded, stay around people that are spiritually minded. And, you know, when we're spiritually minded, we don't talk about one another either in a negative sense. And we, our words are to edify and to build up, never to tear down. And I believe that as we practice this way and as we stay doing these things, great things are going to happen. You know, and be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, do those things. These things are very beneficial. And they work. And the words that you speak are very, they're changing your life. Whatever you believe in here and say from here, negative or positive, will come to pass. It's yours. And it's true. You do attract what you are and who you are. So what are you thinking about yourself? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think the good heavenly thoughts. I think about me. I think I'm amazing. I really do. Because I got Christ in me. I'm amazing. Because I got the Spirit of God dwelling in me. That's made me amazing. It's made me a masterpiece. It's made me unique. It's made me a son of God with all authority and power. Not because of me. but because of God in Christ in me, right? Because of what God's done for me. That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, I am amazing and I am radiant and I'm shining. I've got lovely skin. Everything glows from me. All my insides are beautiful and whole and my skin's perfect, you know, no wrinkles with my tinkles. Nice smooth skin. Not bad for a 58 year old man, eh? Coming up, April the 25th, I'll be 58 then. So I should have said 21 again, shouldn't I? My daughter Sarah messaged me this morning. She goes, how old are you? I said 21. And she laughed. But, she said, well, James is like 21 this year. That's my grandson. So anyway, this is what I was going to share. And I just thank you for listening.